This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White. What does it mean to be perfect? It may not be what you think. And Dr. Wyatt relates what it really means, being perfect.
Thank you, Dennis. Yes, what does our Lord mean by being perfect as your Heavenly Father is? Stay with us as Sharon's reading is from the 5th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and we will come to know what he means.
You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Thank you again, Sharon, so very much. We are continuing with the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's way of introducing us to the teachings of Jesus. What we have learned so far is that Jesus has called us not to some higher ethical standard, but one that is actually totally different. And we will totally miss the point if we try to understand any of this sermon as some extended moral lecture, a collection of far-reaching moral imperatives. Instead, as we will find, it is a call, a challenge in our service to the kingdom of God. It will stretch any view of our faith and cause us to appreciate, perhaps a little bit more, the meaning of divine grace. God's challenge is realized in Christ, but more, it must also drive any of us to the love of God and His mercy. For one thing, ensure, no matter how far we think we have traveled in the way of Christ, Jesus in this sermon reveals that there is always more that lies ahead. He now will stretch us further. He speaks of the ancient laws to limit the idea of retaliation. Jesus will use 3 passages from the Torah. First, you have heard an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. This very idea goes as far back as written history, and was a rational legal approach to curtail endless excessive retaliation by families or clans for various imagined wrongs. One could pay the consequences of neglect or harmful actions, not in excess, but exactly in kind. It made sense in the ruthless, violent, prehistorical world. But long before the time of Christ, such mutilations had been replaced with monetary payments to rectify as much as possible the wrong that was done. Yet what the basis of this law did was to give the very act of vengeance seemingly the approval of God's law. And surely for some, it was perverted in the sense that God's approval was upon such actions. Jesus does not change or abrogate the law, but would fulfill it. We are challenged to a new kind of life, and we must take care in applying these words of our Lord. He would have our hearts free of carnal or even normal reactions. This is often misconstrued as calling for non-resistance, but that would make the Christian life irrational. The law of love is simply not intended to throw open the floodgates to unrestrained cruelty and crime, to quote a great scholar. We must never believe that as disciples we should not endeavor to right wrongs, that we must empty our purse for every beggar, or allow every tyrant to wipe his feet on our brothers and sisters. If that were true, Christians would all live lives of fear and utter destitution. Our Lord's challenge here does not mean we should allow evil to triumph in our neighborhoods or beyond, or to be put upon endlessly by those without restraint or shame. Jesus is referring to what affects us personally, just you or me, not others. Personally, our conduct is not to retaliate, but a readiness to endure further blows. Of course, there will be those occasions, just as our Lord demonstrated in his own life, when protests are in order. Jesus would, when necessary, roundly tell the religious authorities off, denouncing their vindictiveness, let them know of their illegal acts and underhanded viciousness. He was quite adamant about the biases and illegality of his own trial, but never did he seek revenge. We must never be selective in our choice of scriptures, especially when it comes to ethical demands. Never do we submit to tyranny or abuse for no reason. In fact, in his own ministry, things will radically change soon. It is in this sense that he will in the garden tell them that there will come a time to sell the valuable outer cloak and buy a sword, that there will be those times when self-defense is necessary. The disciples will, as often, misunderstand the timing as they do in the garden when Peter will use his sword. You see, that was not the time or place. But we cannot blissfully declare that at all times and place we must accept whatever the world and the devil wish to throw at us. We are to exhibit at least a little wisdom. For instance, rather than resentfully contest a lawsuit, pay your debts. If they have a case, then show excessive grace. Do more than what is right. Reveal, display that you are a disciple of love. It can be difficult at times when it is a crook, a liar, or worse, but we are called to be different. Jesus describes our acts to be those that are willing not only to sell the everyday tunic to pay the debt, but the expensive outer cloak as well. These cloaks were something considered indispensable, and under the Mosaic law, such a cloak, even if taken as a pledge for a debt, had to be returned by sundown, for it would be required as covering for night. Again, Jesus extends his challenge beyond even the Jewish law, and will then ask of his disciple to show the same magnanimous attitude toward Roman law. And just imagine how that would be received by the Jews of the first century, who despised Rome. Like paying our taxes or obeying traffic laws when no other cars are about. You know, a stop sign with no cross traffic for miles. Those seat belts required hands-free cell phones in cars. And as my youngest son is discovering, layers of permits and inspections for each effort to improve he and his wife's little cottage. Jesus' challenge is to go the extra mile when it is required. Fortunately, no longer do Romans, or as was the case over 200 years ago, the redcoats who could make demands on citizens to carry their gear a mile or be forced to be lodged as soldiers. We are just asked to put up with such distasteful demands with cheerfulness and even go beyond them. We are to endure almost anything rather than neglect or abuse the life of love we have. However, all of these examples of the Lord, all three, turning the cheek, giving the cloak, going the second mile, is intended for our spiritual well-being. But please, this does not extend, nor is it meant to be, an allowance to those who would inflict injustice, those whose base efforts are evil. We as people of love cannot allow or encourage such acts. And now with the fourth example, we are asked to give. But here Jesus does not say, give double what is asked of you. Instead, we are to respond, not to a demand, nor are we compelled. We respond to a sincere request and do so in a way our circumstances permit. This is not blindly or foolishly. We are not intended to be mechanical in any of this. Love is not to foster or enable iniquity or unlawful acts in others, or expose ourselves and those we love to disaster, impoverishment, or even death. Jesus has never commanded us not to restrain the killer or to check the thief. Never are we told not to oppose the tyrant, or as Professor Lenski states, or by my gifts to foster shiftlessness, dishonesty, or greed. We are instead commanded to love our enemy and pray for those who persecute you. The law said simply, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Old Testament never says to hate your enemies. Instead, one was to extend a helping hand to foreigners in your midst, and even one's enemies are to be treated humanely. Yet in practice, in reality, for example, the Romans in particular were vilified. Also, from ancient times, Israel had been taught to have the warmest attitude or love toward all Israelites. But now a contentious, vicious party spirit enveloped the land. Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, and those cooperating with Rome were all at each other's throats. Yet this original command from Moses was not intended to raise only the question of who is my neighbor, and thus to somehow define who we are to love. The rabbinical teachers, the popular conception, had twisted the statement to center on this very question, who is my neighbor? And limited the command to only those perceived as one's neighbor and to not love all the others. This did pervert the law's purpose to love those of Israel, even to the lowest, and to include the stranger. Jesus will invigorate this law once again. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. When he is asked later to define a neighbor, Jesus relates the immortal parable of the Good Samaritan. There are, you see, no distinctions. We are to extend always a helping hand, always come from a place of love, concern, and desire, not to simply do a little, but truly help. There is no seeking of revenge, bearing grudges, one-upmanship, or domination. Even to those who would persecute, direct their attacks at us because of our faith, those whose every act is evil and perverse, even to these, we are to make every effort of conciliation. We are simply not to follow their corrupt example, but to win them over. Otherwise, they will have a fearful account to render to God. All such hatefulness, all their stabs and blows, we are to see from God's point of view and his desire to free them of such hate and to rescue them from a certain fate. Such a higher form of love does not, of course, see anything attractive or admirable in such a person. But our inner motive is to see, hopefully, such a one gain the true blessings of repentance, and if it can be, achieved through our very acts of caring and love. That is our Lord's desire, for God shows no partiality, for he has sent the warm sun and rain on one and all. Nor are we to love only those who love us. That is nothing more than what a Roman, a Gentile, a barbarian, no more than what anyone does. To love only the lovable is nothing unusual. There can be no reward for that. As people of God, how can we take pride in doing no more than what the world does? We are called upon to be like our Father in heaven. He is to be our model. We are to be perfect. The word here in Greek is teleos, a perfectly marvelous, complex idea. Gone is to be the subtraction or redefining, the haggling with God on various points of conduct. We are to be devoted to His will, following Him in spirit and truth. But this does not mean equality with the Father, but a truth, a commitment. Unfortunately, the English rendering of teleos as being perfect has given rise to the idea of absolute sinlessness. But the idea of sinlessness is not the thought here. Remember, we are to hunger for righteousness, and we will always need mercy and grace. We are flawed, and to some extent we will always be flawed until we enter glory. To be teleos is to be completed, perfectly attuned, have it all together, hitting the mark. Translators have used the word mature or complete here, which is clearly an awkward translation in the context of what Jesus has said, and it is just as limited. So the word perfect will have to do, but only if we understand the call, the challenge is not sinlessness, but something that is actually attainable. Not what can and has been turned by many good people into modern Phariseeism, flaunting their imagined perfection and only revealing all too painfully their glaring flaws of pseudo-piety and spiritual pride. We are to be obedient to the Father, desire His will, look to Him, and strive to do our best. Our many flaws will show, and we will confess and ask His pardon and receive it. What our Lord has asked of us, we shall not reach fully. We are challenged to a life for which there will always be something more to which to strive. No matter how far we travel along the way of Christ, there is still something more for us to aim at. As has been said, there is to be a wholeness, a heartfeltness, a drive for fulfillment in Christianity, as there should and must always be. O Lord, let us grasp the full concept of what it is to follow Thee, to be obedient to Thy will, to this challenge to live life differently, in a totally, radically different way. Lord, let us consider all that You would tell us, and all that You would lead us to, and all that You would enable us to do in and through Thy Spirit, for it is for Your glory and Your kingdom. Amen.
Our Lord does call us to a life very different than any other. And Dr. Wyatt is offering, without charge, his study, The Question of Discipleship, to engage you in this new life. Here is the truth of what we are called to in God. So just write and ask for the book, The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. We do so wish to thank those of you who, by your thoughtfulness and prayers, have kept this ministry viable and on your wonderful radio station. We do depend on people like you in order to get the Word of God out to a world so in need of hearing of God's wonderful grace. So please consider being a part of this ministry by supporting the Wings of Healing. The address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Also, secure contributions can be made on our website at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. It is always enjoyable to share stories of prodigals, like this of David, as his mother is rejoicing and sharing his recent return to the Lord and is once again attending church, even quitting his job with its unsavory atmosphere and involvement. We are so pleased for this mother, whose persistence has proven its value. And if you need prayer, please do write. Dennis will once again give our addresses. But first, I want to hear Sharon's recording of a favorite of mine at Calvary. So until next week, may our Lord bless you richly.
Years I've spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Oh, mercy. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my soul found victory.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. As always, any CDs of our programs are available if you will but write and ask. And this week, Dr. Wyatt wants you to have a copy of his insightful book, The Question of Discipleship. Now, here is laid out so clearly just what the call of Christ entails and what it means to be a disciple. Do write and ask for your copy of The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. Our address is once more our Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you may contact the ministry on the internet at thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.